Prepare to be astonished.
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Matt Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
We are wrapping up 2024 on an adventure in history. A couple more days to make those intentions for the new year.
You're still trying that, aren't you?
I am. Hey, it works. In my circle of people, we have all changed. Meaning, well, like my children say.
Okay, see, we always all change. Years ago, there was somebody involved in the marketing for the region that always used to use the word, we're unique. And it's an okay word, but I kept saying, okay, every place is unique. So that's kind of what I'm hearing when you say that we all change. We all change.
I'm trying to change you, Mac. Suddenly
we're getting philosophical or something.
So, Dan, are you a New Year's resolution person or a New Year's intention person?
Probably neither, but I have a working classic old clipboard, and it's got pages and pages of stuff that I need to do. Oh. So there's no necessarily something I'm, you know, gearing up for. It's just I have so many things to do. It's too many things on my plate.
So you're a checklist kind of guy.
Yeah.
See, I'm down with that. The to-do list.
I like
Here's
that.
The things I got to get done.
I'm okay with that too. And in case you haven't recognized that voice, because some of you could have recognized it, we have Mr. Dan Foss with us here tonight. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
I'm glad I dragged you down here.
I think this is going to be a great guest
to
end the year on.
I love it.
This is going to be fantastic.
Yes.
Okay. So we
I have
right
my
to,
word.
We have nothing to plug.
We have nothing to plug because
we're done with tea and plum pudding. We're done with staying in the house. And we're done with the holidays. We have New Year's Eve, but we don't do anything for New Year's Eve anymore.
Be safe. Have fun. Don't jump in the ocean, please.
That's right.
Okay. Here's your word of the day.
These
are retired words or historic words that have been lost or no longer are used. And Mac tries to guess them. This one's a noun.
Okay.
Noun. Pelf.
Pelf.
P-E-L-F.
P-E-L-F.
14th century.
Oh, see, that goes too far back for me. History only begins like the 1500s.
Oh, okay.
So, pelf. I believe a pelf is, it kind of sounds like a pelt.
Ooh,
so, I'm going to say it is a very specific kind of hide.
Okay.
But I'm not going to claim which kind, like an elk or something like that.
You're 100% incorrect.
I figured I was.
Yeah. Dan, any guess?
I wish it was a verb.
I know.
Because it sounds like pilfer.
Yes.
Like, yeah. I'm going to take something.
I make it hard because I don't give any clues.
Pelf. Country of origin? We won't go that far. I don't know. But that's a fascinating word, whatever it is.
This one we could bring back because it's simple.
Oh.
It's money.
Wow.
Pelf?
Yep.
Pelf is money.
Yep.
So give me some pelf.
Yes.
Reach into your wallet and give me some pelf.
It does say money, especially when acquired through fraud or deceit.
Oh, see, I was about to start a lie that like I knew, and it does come back to the pelts because that is the before you get paid for all of the beaver pelts.
Wow.
The minute you said that it's by deceit, and so
that
was a bluff I would not have been able to run very far.
But
so.
Pelf, but money, you know.
Pelf, yeah, that's not coming back. All right. So the big history highlights, I don't have that many.
Okay.
I don't know what went wrong, if I just got tired of looking or what. But I knew we'd have a guest, so I knew I didn't have to look very hard for a bunch of them. So these are things that happen tomorrow, December 30th. As always, bar trivia, New Year's Eve party things.
Yeah.
And I've only got three. 1809, wearing masks at balls are forbidden in Boston.
Oh, interesting.
No masks in Boston in 1809.
And did it say why?
I didn't check, you know.
And masks, like costume masks.
I assume.
Right, yeah. Okay.
At balls. So no masquerade balls.
Right.
All right, Boston, what's going on with you? 1916, Rasputin is murdered. I don't quite understand why he has such a high profile in history. He just seems like a kook to me. I don't know. All right, but our history hallows day, the thing I think had the most impact on history, and I will welcome arguments on this one because there's no doubt I am correct on this one.
Compared to those.
1922, the USSR is established. So in post-revolutionary Russia, the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics is established, comprising, and I bet almost nobody in America could name who makes it up, because we are so America-centrist. So it is comprised of a confederation of Russia, Belarusia, Ukraine, and the Trans-Caucasian Federation.
Interesting.
Who would ever pull that one?
I knew Ukraine. Yeah. Right.
I'm kind of fascinated by the early history of when the Tsar gets overthrown, and I don't think many Americans realize we had a fighting army in Russia because we were trying to kind of prop him up and keep him in power, and that's one of the reasons that the Soviets are kind of down on us early on
because
you sent troops.
Yeah.
So we kind of tend to forget that.
Yeah. Yeah, and it is, I mean, Russia's just so massive, too. I think that's a hard sort of thing to understand, you know, when we think about Ukraine fighting right now, right? I mean, but this goes back.
Yeah.
I mean.
But 1922, they're all in it together.
Right.
So Ukraine and Russia are friends, and everything's great for the rest of humanity's history here.
Yes, because that's how that works, right? Yeah. We just draw those borders.
Did I miss anything?
You didn't, no. Okay. I didn't do my homework either.
You didn't do your homework. You've been busy, like, having holidays
and
having kids in the house.
Well, and Dan, I knew Dan Foss was going to be here, and I was really excited because I tried to get him about a month ago because he and I danced in the Nutcracker. We didn't dance together, but we danced in the same scene, had a lot of fun. It was my first time. But Dan, how many times have you danced in the Nutcracker?
Well, including this year, this is my 14th.
14 wow. years.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. Goes without saying that you are a better dancer than Mark and Alana.
No, we for all of us, we all dance the same dance. So it doesn't really matter. We're just out there having fun and enjoying the whole experience.
But he got so into it, partially tore
my Achilles.
Oh no.
Trying to hustle into position when the curtains were shut. You know.
He was trying to make his way around Mark and I, who stopped in front of him.
No, that's not the case. But I'm going, that's not good. And then I took a couple of weeks off and persevered through the three shows.
So for the count.
I heard you both did it on purpose to get more customers for one of the two hospitals that you both
worked. Oh,
right. That's how that works.
See, I was going to ask, well, you said you did not draw undue attention to yourselves when I asked how good did you do. So who was more prominent?
Oh, Dan.
Dan, were you up closer to the front of the stage than the two of them?
No.
I guess you are.
Well, it depends on what part of the dances were. There was, that's not the case. No. For me, it's always been an honor to be a part of the Nutcracker. So, you know, anywhere on stage, I'm a happy camper. So it's a lot of fun.
And Dan's very connected to Astoria High School, but we're going to get to that. But let's start first. How did you end up here in Astoria?
All right. I spent 10 years in Vernonia. And when I was teaching and coaching over there, during the winter months, I would coach over in Longview for the Cowlitz Volleyball Club. And one of the athletes that came over and played for one of my teams was Michelle O'Brien, which is Janice O'Brien's daughter. She came and played for me her junior year. And I found out that there was City League Volleyball over here, and Janice and Wade invited me over here. So I would sprint after golf practice in the spring on 202 to get here for about 7 o'clock for City League. And then a year and a half later, they said, hey, there's a industrial arts job, which I'm an industrial arts instructor, retired now, and the head volleyball coach available. You know, you should consider coming over and interviewing. And that's now it all. You know, one interview, one job, nailed it, and here we go.
Okay, so we got to back up because Vernonia.
Yes.
How did you get to Vernonia? And then I want to talk about industrial arts education and how you got into that.
Oh, well. I graduated from Western Washington University in Bellingham in 86, and then you get these job openings from the Career Planning and Placement Center. And I sent out an application to Vernonia. I go, I don't know where Vernonia is. So I sent out an application, and they sent me, you know, the information back, and I filled it in. They said, we want you to come down for an interview. Well, this is great. And I had to look it up. Where is Vernonia?
Right.
So I had to drive from Everett to Vernonia in like 4.5 hours. And I remember pulling over just south of Rainier and knocked on a farmhouse. I said, can you tell me where Vernonia is? And they said, go about another, you know, 8 miles. And when you hit the stop sign, take a left and go another 7 miles. And I went, okay, this is great. So that was really unique because I changed into a 3-piece brown wool suit in one of the restrooms at a gas station. And went in there for the interview, and it was just wonderful. The people were there were just fantastic. And like I've been very fortunate. One interview, one job, and I was given the opportunity to coach golf and volleyball, and I was there for 10 years and had a great time. And still make, you know, have contact with all those people, and, you know, Christmas cards to so many people back there because it was such an impactful time in my life.
So I've driven through Vernonia a number of times in my time here, but I don't really know Vernonia, except for I do love the sign, Vernonia, down this way.
It's so far from there.
It makes me laugh, yes. So talk a little bit about Vernonia, because you stayed there 10 years, and you obviously liked it. So sell us on Vernonia for a minute.
It had the oldest, the largest electric mill in the world. And, you know, it's obviously smack dab in the middle of the Northwest Peninsula here. And if you remember, if you ever driven north on 101, then over to 30, it said all signs lead to Vernonia. It's like Vernonia this way to the right, Vernonia to the right, Vernonia to the right. So it's a logging town. When I arrived there, I think it was like 2,100 people, maybe 120 in the high school.
Wow.
Total students. And I taught actually 7 through 12. And the middle school kids would walk over through the grassy strip to my classroom, for their electives. And that was great. And just the history of it. That mill was going hard for until like 1959, if I remember right. But it was burned down as part of burned down for a Hollywood movie.
Oh, goodness.
I'm trying to remember the name. So we can look it up.
No, I know this because I have funny photos of it. There's a bad guy that like hijacks a sheriff and a woman, and then they set the place on fire.
Right.
Burning timber or something like that. Oh, this is terrible that I can't pull this out off the top of my head.
I feel bad.
Roaring timber.
But is that it?
I think so.
No, it's not. The main actor was very prominent in Hollywood at the time. But the town is, you know, just a wonderful town. You know, everybody knows each other, obviously, because it's so small. But, you know, the show is the high school sports. And, you know, everybody supports everybody. The football games were great. I enjoyed doing the announcing for football games. My landlord had two rentals, and we were right next to each other. I was the head volleyball coach, and he was the head football coach. His name was Dan, and I was Dan. So it was Big Dan, Little Dan. And she was really sweet. She was a lady from Louisiana, but she go, y'all come on over. We'll have a root beer float. But she was just adorable. But their whole family, you know, there's just family history and going back generations in that town. And just very fortunate. You know, I grew up in West Seattle, and I go to Vernonia. I'm going, where am I going?
Right.
But it was wonderful. I mean, I had some great teams over there. I had a team that was ranked, the volleyball team was ranked number one in the state for 5 weeks, and we were undefeated. And here's a little quick thing, but 2 days before we were to host the first round of the state, a close friend of more than half the girls on the team was accidentally shot and killed by his grandfather in a hunting accident. And we lost, you know, that match. And I had 13 seniors, and that was something I'll never forget. So it was, but it was one of those things that are in my life that I'll appreciate the season, but I just feel, you know, bad for the family because it affected the whole town.
Sure.
But it was, but just the memories I have from that time was just great. Just so much fun. And then coming over here, I've been here for 28 years.
Oh, my goodness.
So how did you get into industrial arts? And when I was a kid, I'm assuming it's what I would have called shop.
Yes, right.
So how do you go to college and decide this is what I want to teach? How did you fall into that?
Well, you ready for this? My dad was an industrial arts instructor.
There you go.
So we had that influence. But I've always enjoyed working with my hands and being creative. I had a family over last night for a gathering, and I was talking about this on my Facebook photos, and it shows me at age 3 with a handsaw in preschool. And I'm going, wow, that's where it all started way back then. But 7th grade metal class, that was great. 8th grade metal class, and I was the TA 8th grade for the Mr. Kress, and it was great. And then went to high school and took the machine operators classes, and I'm saying, hey, I do pretty well in these classes. It'd be great to see this continue. So I did my associate's degree locally, and I transferred up to Bellingham and Western Washington University and got my industrial arts teaching degree. And that was fantastic.
And you are quite an artist.
Oh.
I mean, you don't just build things, right? I mean, so how explain that passion and where you learned that as well.
Well, genetics probably had a big part of that. My mom, my grandmother, my great-grandmother had an art studio in Wichita, Kansas in like 1920. And we have a lot of her paintings and watercolors. And it's just, I think it's just my mechanical reasoning. I'm just very grateful and blessed that I have that mechanical reasoning. But my mom did a lot of the Norwegian tulle painting. Where that's very flowing, I think that's called toll painting. But my dad was very, mechanically inclined. So I think I just appreciate the genetics, and that's my release, in a stressful situation. Mom would get upset and say, why don't you pick up your phone on the weekends? I said, well, if you really need to get a hold of me, call the police. And she's like, that's not very nice. But it was fun because I would just, after teaching for 5 days, I just needed time away from, the teaching. So I would just shut down and go down to my shop or go to the high school shop and work. And I have currently have 34 handmade yard art pieces, Christmas decorations in my front yard, whether it's Charlie Brown, the Grinch, Prep and Landing from Disney, Rudolph and Frosty, and the Nutcracker characters.
Yes.
And I made a 5-foot-tall, fully functional Nutcracker.
5-foot-tall, Mac.
That's amazing.
And the detail is just astounding. But these other pieces, they're yard signs, but they are 6 to 8 foot yard signs. I mean, so we're talking pretty massive pieces that are hand cut. Mm-hmm. And then drawn on. I mean,
yeah.
So we drive by his house every day or a couple days a week. And we were the ones, because I told him, I said, we just stopped there. And then my daughter looks at, and she names all the characters. But the Nutcracker is stunning. I mean, it's different from your other work, though. I mean, because it's three-dimensional, right? I mean.
Yeah, it's fully articulated. Everything moves, the arms, the jaw. Mm-hmm. You can smash, coconuts if you need to. I mean, it's a big jaw. And the hat, the crown's removable, and everything is, it's easy to transport, put it that way. But it's,
is it?
Do you have yeah, 5 foot. I'm not believing that one. But do you have so I'm hearing, obviously, painting and woodwork.
Yes.
What if you had one media that you prefer? What is it? Because that's obviously
question.
Combining two of them.
Wow.
Are there other things that you are you a metalworker on top of this?
I taught welding, metalworking, woodworking. I taught drafting, computer aided drafting. So it's just computer aided drafting was awesome. Hmm. Really enjoyed that. But all of them had their own individual, perks and enjoyment. But that's a good question. I don't think I can pinpoint it because a lot of them are all interconnected. You have to use certain, woodworking tools, and you can have to, make, stakes for, things, to hold down the things in their front yard. I mean, it's all interconnected, but I don't have any metalworking in my shop. It's mostly woodworking.
Okay. So talk about the connection to students, because you just told us the one story about the young woman in Vernonia and how that affected the team. And that's, mm-hmm. A core memory for you. Mm-hmm. But after the Nutcracker, what I loved when we were out in the hallway is when you were standing there, all of these people come up to you and say, oh, Mr. Foss, how are you doing? Mm. But I mean, it was adults in their 30s.
Yes.
20s. There were teenagers. And then there were some young kids, too. I mean, that's so multi-generation. And they're all, I mean, they just were drawn to you. And they just all, I mean, I remember you just didn't move. You stayed right there. So tell us about that connection with your students.
Well, you know, you know, for me, I've been very fortunate to, you know, to teach for 32 years. So, you know, the oldest kid right now is like 5 years old, younger than me. So, you know, but, you know, you go to Fred Meyer, you see people. You know, you go to a store, you see people. And it's nice to catch up to see what they've been up to and, you know, the kids that, they've had kids and how their kids are doing. I think if you just show genuine care and concern for each kid, you know, it just shows through. It just comes through, you know, in general politeness and courtesy and respect that, you know, the kids all, you know, are working hard. They're doing the best they can. And whatever you can do to motivate them to, you know, enjoy their time, because what's that old saying? It's like easier to get something done with some sweet as opposed to vinegar.
Right. Yes.
So, you know, I can't remember.
You get more with sugar than salt.
There you go. That's all the. So, you know, I think it's just mutual respect. You know, I've always enjoyed teaching and I made it fun and still getting the same outcomes. You know, you can really be harsh and kids do not want to show up. They'll skip your class. But I keep hearing, I had that family over last night. They said, you're the one of the only classes I'd never skipped. And I went, that's good to know.
That's a good compliment.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm just very blessed. And it's just nice to hear how the kids are doing after high school. And when you hear that they're, you know, being industrial guys that, yeah, you know, I have my own construction business or, you know, I'm doing creative things. I'm going, good for you. So it's just, you know, it's been wonderful. I'm just very, very blessed.
So are there, I like something you just said there, that somebody has their own construction business or suddenly they're going into something that you obviously had a big role in either striking that passion or enhancing their skills. Were there kids that you saw and you were like, oh, you are so going to be an architect or you are so going to be a carpenter and build houses all over town?
Yeah, it's nice to hear that because you sense that. I actually taught construction for about 12 years too. So, and when you know, see the care and the concern that they have, and they're responsible and they're very articulate and very wise, and they have the intellect to do this at another level, that's great. And you look back on those kids and you hear about them. They're not kids. They're like, they're approaching 50 now. A lot of them are 40 to 50 years old. So, you know, even last night at the group, they said, it's so weird to call you Dan. I'm always going to call you Mr. Foss. Yeah. I thought that was good because we had, I think we had 15 people at my house last night. And yeah, I had four of them were my former students, but then there was their extended family. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for me, you know, it's just nice to hear, but, you know, there's other, you know, avenues that they've done besides, you know, construction that, you know, they've excelled in. And when I was hurt one time, I went to the ER, and one of my former TAs walks in. She goes, Foss, what are you doing?
Yep.
I go, oh, yeah, I've been having problems with my leg. And then we carried on the conversation. I go, tell me something. You know, this is her first year you know, on the floor. How much are you making? she told me, I go, oh my gosh, I'm like 2 years from retirement. You're making more than I'm making right now. So it's just nice to see them being successful. And and it's just nice to hear them. I could, now that I ran into her son recently, say hello to your mom. So just, she was my TA and grading a lot of my machine quizzes for me. I checked the quizzes after she graded them, but I had her do it.
So working in museums has sometimes ruined me for museums because I can't enjoy it. I'll look more like, why did they put the lights that way? Or how come they made the text panels out of this? So talk about, can you look at somebody else's work and just go, wow, that's a great table. That's a great whatever. Or do you, why did they do it out of that wood? Or why did they?
It's so funny when you see those short videos on YouTube and you're just cracking up because, you know, it shows the dads with their arms behind their back just staring at the ceiling, looking at the different hardware and the, you know, different connections. I do that. Yeah, but there's a, you know, it's not my time and place to criticize them and just appreciate, you know, appreciate what they've done or whatever the, you know, level of the, you know, their skill that, you know, to get to that point. But, you know, it's just, it's just nice to see, you know, the quality. I mean, I took art history for, you know, 3/4 and I love that. So you just appreciate different forms.
So tell me how you got into an announcing. Being an announcer.
Well, I really don't know how that ever started. I mean, I've been
because it started in Vernonia.
Yeah.
Said, yeah.
I did it for 30. This is my 38th year doing it. So I don't know. The football team, you know, needed somebody to do it. And I don't know. Maybe, I don't remember how I was asked to do it, but I just took it. And then I've done regionals. I've done pre-state stuff. And it's just a nice honor when the leagues ask you, you know, would you do, you know, regionals for us? So that has been great.
It's the call to the major leagues.
I don't know.
But you obviously have this passion for sports too.
Absolutely.
And the connection to the students. How has that been? I mean, just getting, because you, I mean, you must get very invested as a fan.
Volleyball, golf. My uncle was a PGA Tour professional, and he won 3 national titles with the University of Houston. And so I always had the golf stuff was everywhere. And then for me, you know, volleyball has been a big passion. So, you know, I really get into it. I mean, I call those volleyball. Something happens every 2 minutes. It's not like soccer. It's like a goal every 40 minutes. So, but I played soccer for 15 years. But I don't know. There's one thing from John Wooden's quote: the bottom block of his pyramid of success was enthusiasm creates momentum. And I think that's where I've always excelled, is enthusiasm.
I concur with that. That I think describes you to a T. Yes, that's great. Well, what a great niche you found in doing those games and that connection, because you're staying connected and you're still doing the Nutcracker too. I mean, so those connections are so valuable.
In the 50th next year.
Yes, that's kind of exciting.
How did you get roped into the Nutcracker?
really quick. I supported the Pizzazz dance team, and I'm standing in the hallway waiting for the kids to come in my door. And one of the girls says, "You're coming to practice tonight, right?" I go, "Practice for what?" "No, you've been selected as one of the adults for the Nutcracker." I go, "What?" I didn't know. And then sure enough, I showed up, and that was 2003.
Oh, how funny.
So that's how
it's similar to Mark and I.
See, Alana was nepotism.
So. Yeah. Yeah, that's true, yes.
But I wanted to come back for the 50th to help promote it. So that's why I got in on the 49th to come back to help, you know, promote it next year.
Okay. Oh, so had you taken some years off?
Yeah, I was off for 7 years.
Oh, okay.
So, wow.
Yeah, almost a newbie again.
Well, I'm always excited to meet somebody that I wish had been one of my teachers. Because I had some good teachers, but I had a lot that, even as a kid, I just felt like you're phoning it in. And I don't think any student ever felt that way about you. I could just feel that you were somebody that was excited to spread enthusiasm and knowledge, and I have no doubt why kids come back and talk to you all the time.
Yes, Mr. Dan Foss, thank you for joining us and catapulting us into the new year with your positivity. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you all. Thank you for having me, and all the best in 2025.
All right, go make some history. We'll catch you next week. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for joining us for an adventure in history. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.